Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, also called Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and today we're going to continue our study in 1 Samuel. We got into chapter 24, so we're going to back up to verse 1 there. Got a few verses in there last time. If you'll remember, Saul had killed all the priests. Well, actually, he didn't kill all the priests. He turned to his soldiers, to his fellow countrymen there, you know, those patriotic soldiers that were part of the nation of Israel, of course, he being the king, and he tells them to slay the household of the priests there, and they would not do it. So he had an Edomite there, an enemy of Israel, as one of his servants. And because his own countrymen wouldn't kill the priests, he turned to Doug, the Edomite, and he asked Doug to kill them, and Doug killed them all. So what a home-born man won't do in his own country against his own people, a foreigner will do. And of course, as many people know, and in the nation, state, America, also recognized, identified as the second beast of Revelation, that is America, now has a foreign president, a foreign-born president. It doesn't seem to be any hidden secret or mystery that is so. Who knows what'll happen next? But he likely is willing to do things that a homegrown boy isn't willing to do. Although sometimes I wonder about that because there are so many traitors sitting up there in the cat house on the hill, as a good friend of mine calls it, the Congress. Anyway, we're going to pick up here in 1 Samuel. Let's just jump in here, verse 1. And it came to pass when Saul was returning from the Philistines, as Saul almost caught up with David, if you remember, and then he got called away by an attack of the Philistines, Providence calls. So now he's returning from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where there was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet. And I think that means that Saul went in to take a nap. The sheepcotes, these were caves where perhaps they would keep the sheep during the hottest part of the day in the caves. So he found one of these caves, and he thought, I'm going to go in here and take me a little nap while my men hunt out. You know, because Saul's an older man. He's a big man, too, and, you know, it seems like the bigger the man, the harder it is for them to take the heat. So anyway, he goes in to cover his feet, as it says in the Authorized King James Version. And David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. So apparently David and his men were hiding in these caves, and, you know, perhaps there were many passages. And they were in one of the side passages, apparently. And the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord has said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy unto thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. So there's another indication. Yes, Saul did go in there to take himself a little nap, because he didn't notice that Dave privately, secretly, stealthily went in and cut a portion of the skirt of Saul's robe off. In verse 5, and it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. An indication here that David is a man of great conscience, and he doesn't do anything lightly. And even if he does something to his enemy in his own mind, being Yahuwah's, or the Lord's anointed, the King of Israel, well, it smote his heart, as he said. It pricked his heart. And he said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of Yahuwah." So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. And so Saul, he caught him a little cat nap, and he rose up refreshed and just walked out the door. I guess he didn't notice that the part of his skirt had been cut off, part of the skirt of his robe, that is. But also arose afterwards and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, "Lord, the king." And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, "Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord has delivered thee into mine hand in the cave, and some bade me to kill you. My eye spared thee, and I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not. Know thou, and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in my hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but my hand shall not be upon thee." David, and this is a good lesson for all of us that are being persecuted, we have enemies hot on our trail, doing everything they can to destroy us, to destroy our families, using any weapon they can find, be it child protective services, the IRS, anything they can do in court to destroy our families, to murder. You know, I could say murder is in their hearts. This murder here, it was in the heart of Saul. You know, because when someone calls CPS on you to destroy your family, that shows you that there's murder in their heart, because they're trying to murder your family. That would be murder of the family, to destroy it, and to destroy it without a cause, to make trouble for someone that way, just simply because you hate them without a lawful cause, because they are the servants of the Almighty and hate what they're doing. You hate the work that they're doing. And so spirits rise up because you are prideful, you worship mammon, whatever reason you allow these spirits, the spirits of the enemy, to control your life and to use you against the servants, against the anointed of the Almighty, against his elect, those that follow him and keep his commandments. Even though, as demonstrated by David here, even though Saul wanted to kill him, hated him without a cause, no lawful cause to hate him, had murder in his heart against David, against the elect of the Heavenly Father, David would never even approach breaking the commandments of God, the commandments of our Heavenly Father, in retribution against his enemy. As the scripture says, that you should not repay evil with evil, but that you should overcome evil with good. And it even smote David's heart that he cut the skirt of his robe off. And that's how difficult it is for us that walk in the Spirit, live by the commandments of our Heavenly Father, that are being pursued by people that are driven by the enemy of our Heavenly Father. Yes, evil spirits. And these are the temptations that the Heavenly Father, that God's people face day in and day out, as the enemy pursues them, as they serve him, as they serve the Heavenly Father. For even our Lord, Yahshua, our Messiah, he said, "If they hated me, they will hate you. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. So let us not be surprised when persecution comes. Let us not be surprised when the world hates us and wants to destroy us. And let us not be surprised either that the Heavenly Father, in the midst of it, in the midst of the onslaught, builds a hedge around us and protects us from our enemies. In their face, He prepares a table in the presence of our enemies. He prepares a table of plenty for us, because the judgment is for them. The judgment is to show them what they are so that they can repent, whether they repent or not. And if they don't repent and they continue to pursue the Heavenly Father's elect, those that love Him, keep His commandments, that fear Him and keep His commandments, as the enemy pursues, using demons to press people into service that are idolaters, that are lustful, prideful, covetous, because all of these things make you subject to the wiles of the enemy, to the wiles of the devil. And his demons get to oppress and even control your very thoughts and use you against the Heavenly Father's anointed. And that means that you fail. You fail the judgment, because our life, this very life that we live, is a courtroom. It's a place of judgment. It's a setting. It is a trial. And for those that are doing evil, to show them what they are, here is your life on display before the Heavenly Father and all the angels and every man that can see into these things. You are on trial. Look at yourself if you can see yourself. If you're not so blind that you cannot see what you're doing, for the scripture says, judge yourself that you be judged of no man. But can the blind judge themselves? Can those that follow after idolatry judge themselves? Can those that seek only to covet that which is their neighbor's, to lust after things that are unlawful, can they judge themselves? No, they can't judge themselves because they're blind. They cannot see. They cannot see their own evil and wickedness. Though it's on display before the whole universe, they cannot see it. So they continue in it because they do not fear Yahuwah, they do not fear God and keep His commandments, that they might live, that their eyes might be open. The judgment is for them. The trial is for them, and they are being tried and found wanting. The trial is also for us, the elect. The trial refines us because we have our eyes open. We see our faults. We live a lifestyle of repentance. We continually repent, saying, Heavenly Father, I see the fault in me. Write your law upon my mind and in my heart that I might not sin against you. Help me to live a life that is pleasing to you. Write your commandments and your law in my mind and my heart that I might live a life that's pleasing to you. And that's when you know that you have crossed the border into His kingdom, and there you will abide as long as you live that lifestyle of repentance. That is crucifying the deeds of the flesh. That's what it means. If you're not crucifying the deeds of the flesh, you're not living in His kingdom. If you're looking, if you're just going to confession or you're saying repentance prayers, you draw near with your lips, but there's no change. There's no true repentance indeed. As James said, I will show you my faith by my words. Then you're not in His kingdom. And the sad story of that is, if you're not in His kingdom and you don't endure in His kingdom to the end of your mortal existence or until He returns, and more likely it will be the end of your mortal existence, as history proves out, as my calendar work proves, that we have at least several generations to come before the seventh millennia begins, yes. And as we believe, as many believe and hold, that Yahshua, our Messiah, will return at the opening of that Sabbath or seventh millennia. So it's most likely that you will have to endure in His kingdom to the end of your mortal existence. Yes, you go to the grave, your body expires and no longer functions. Then you will be saved. That's clear and good biblical doctrine. Cross the border into his kingdom and endure to the end, and you will be saved. And that's only one way to endure, is to have his law written upon your mind and on your heart, that you do not sin against him, that you crucify the deeds of the flesh, that you are being refined, and that he is imputing his righteousness to you, to your account, and into your life every day. The wicked become more, wax wicked, wax worse and worse, the scripture says. But who are the wicked? The wicked are they that do not fear God and do not keep his commandments. They have no desire. And many of them are living a delusion, an illusion, that they can go to confession every week, or they can just say a prayer of repentance, perhaps. If you're part of the Roman Catholic cult, you can just go to the man in the little booth. And you go out next week and do all the things that you did again. Or perhaps if you're some Protestant Baptist, you can just go down the aisle every week, weeping and wailing for your sins. And then, but something happens. You just go out the next week and do it all over again. Tell me, what's the difference between you and the one that belongs to the Roman Catholic cult? Well, you just belong to perhaps a Baptist cult or a Methodist cult or whatever, if that's what you're practicing. No, it's the gospel of the kingdom. There is a king, Yeshua, the Messiah, called Jesus, the Greek derivation of his name. I should say a Latin Greek derivation of his name, Jesus. And he is the king, and he has a kingdom, and you need to enter into it today. He wasn't talking about when you die. You enter it now. You make him your king now, and you start to have his law written upon your heart now, and you start obeying his law now, and when you fail, you ask him, you plead with him to teach you obedience out of fear of what will happen to you if you do not learn obedience. Fear not them that can kill the body, but fear him which can cast both body and soul into hell. The fear of Yahuwah, the fear of God, is a healthy thing. It's not legalism, as they like to put you down. If you talk about the commandments and the law of God, they'd like to call you a legalist. Well, here's what a legalist is. A legalist says, well, if I keep the commandments, then God owes me heaven. But we know that the scripture plainly states that our Heavenly Father is not a debtor to any man, that he owes any man anything. The gift of eternal life is free. And he shows you the way to get it is to follow his Son in it, to enter into his kingdom now, and to learn obedience now, and to stay and endure in his kingdom until the end. Then you will be saved. Now, yes, we are saved by faith through grace, that not of works, that any man should boast. You know, a lot, people may see contradictions in that, but I see no contradictions. I see the beauty of the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. And I bid all, like my master, I don't have another gospel to preach. He said, go your way and sin no more. He wasn't joking. It's across the border into his kingdom. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. That's what I'm preaching. The gospel, the good news of the kingdom. Enter his kingdom. Let him be your king. Learn obedience to him. Demonstrated by David here. A heart that was even smote at the act of cutting off the skirt, but he stood up boldly. He said, moreover, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand, for that in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not. Know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in my hand, that I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee. And that's my enemies. They rise up against me and they try to destroy me. That's my prayer. The Lord judge between me and thee. I'm not going to raise up my hand to do an unlawful act, even to someone that is trying to murder my family, destroy my livelihood, and throw me through false accusations in prison. I will not break the commandment of my God. That's my trial. They have theirs. I have mine. The circumstances between us judge us independently before the Heavenly Father, the judge of the universe, who looks over all the earth, whose eyes are in every place. The trial is now. It's on. You're living it. David continues, As saith the proverb of the ancient, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but my hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? The Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee. See, and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thy hand. Hallelujah. That's the prayer of all of us that are suffering persecution at the hands of the wicked, who are being hounded by the enemy, people driven by demonic forces, people that need deliverance. I pray for them. Heavenly Father, deliver them from the iniquity, deliver them from the idolatry that they're living in. Open their eyes that they might repent and receive the life that you died to give them, to free them from their sins. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.